If you really look at the vast majority of human history, waiting wasn't just like an annoyance. It was pretty much the default state of existence.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you sent a letter, you waited weeks for a reply, you ordered a product, you waited months. Even with early tech, right? You clicked a button and you just stared at a loading bar crawling across the screen. Waiting was the physical friction that defined our entire relationship with the world.
It was the universal speed limit. It completely dictated the pace of commerce, the pace of art, and, certainly the pace of our daily routines. Entire economies were built around that assumption.
Right, economies and just our psychological expectations. But looking at the stack of updates we have in front of us today, that speed limit seems to be entirely gone.
Yeah, it's vanishing.
So welcome to today's deep dive. It is Wednesday, June 24, 2026, and we are unpacking the latest dispatches from the Tech in Morning Tech newsletter. And whether you are a UI designer, an institutional investor, a gamer, or honestly just someone trying to navigate the modern digital landscape, you've probably felt this underlying shift.
You'd have to be living under a rock not to.
Exactly. Our sources today cover everything from generative AI and space launches to crypto drops and gaming consoles. But as we put them side by side, a massive hidden theme jumped out. We're witnessing the total collapse of waiting time. We're shifting from a world where we wait for technology to a world of instantaneous real-time response.
And it's a profound structural shift. I mean, we aren't just talking about saving a few seconds to optimize a workflow here. We
No.
are looking at a fundamental re-engineering of how fast systems react to human intent. And that acceleration fundamentally changes human behavior, because when the friction of waiting is removed, the way we create, the way we panic, and the way we make decisions, it all transforms.
Okay, let's unpack this because the most immediate example of this transformation is in artificial intelligence. Today, AI is officially moving from a waiting game to a real-time collaborator, and that's thanks to a startup called Kria and the launch of their Kria 2 model.
A really massive release.
To give you some context, they've released two versions, RAW and Turbo. The Turbo version generates 2K resolution images, so 2048 by 2048 pixels in exactly 2 seconds.
Which is just a staggering leap in computational efficiency.
But here's where I have to play devil's advocate for a second.
Yeah.
For anyone who has been using AI over the last couple of years, models like DALL-E 3 or Midjourney V6, they generally take anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds for an image of that quality.
Right.
So is 2 seconds really that much better than 10 seconds? It feels like we are just becoming ridiculously impatient. I mean, if I have to wait 15 seconds for a piece of custom high-resolution art, is that really a hardship?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the 2 second mark actually has nothing to do with impatience.
Yeah.
It is entirely about the psychology of the flow state.
The flow state.
Yeah. Think about the mechanics of human creativity. If you are a UI designer or a game developer, a 10 to 30 second delay acts as a cognitive wall. You have an idea, you type a prompt, and then you just sit there staring at a progress bar.
And your brain disengages.
Exactly. You check your phone. You lose the thread of your original thought.
So it's kind of the difference between sending an email and having a conversation in the same room. With a 30-second delay, you're essentially mailing a request to a digital artist and waiting for a reply.
Precisely. But at 2 seconds, the AI ceases to be a vending machine where you insert a prompt and wait. Becomes a real-time extension of your brain. A designer can generate, tweak, erase, and review dozens of different concepts during a single, unbroken brainstorming session.
Wow, yeah.
In fact, the founder of Kria, Diego Porres, specifically stated in the newsletter that their goal was to transform AI from a waiting process into a real-time experience. It completely changes the relationship from transactional to collaborative.
And they're backing that up with some incredibly heavy machinery under the hood. The newsletter details that the Kria 2 model is running on a diffusion transformer architecture with 12 billion
That's a
parameters.
lot of parameters.
It is. Now, to make sense of that jargon, let's break down the mechanics. My understanding is that traditional diffusion models kind of build an image, like a painter, adding layers to a canvas, working through static to find the picture.
That's right.
But adding a transformer, which is the underlying tech of large language models like ChatGPT, that changes the process entirely, right?
That's the key innovation. Transformers are exceptionally good at understanding global context all at once. Instead of blindly patching pixels together, a diffusion transformer looks at the entire conceptual scene simultaneously.
Okay, so it sees a whole picture from the start.
Exactly. And when you combine that holistic understanding with 12 billion parameters, which essentially act as 12 billion distinct neural pathways mapping relationships between concepts, light, and geometry, the system doesn't have to guess or iterate as much.
It just knows.
It fundamentally knows what a photorealistic sunset over a futuristic city looks like, and it renders it in parallel instantly.
And they are giving away the secret sauce. Kriya is releasing this as Open Weights on Hugging Face.
Which is huge.
For those who aren't developers, Hugging Face is essentially the central library where the AI world shares its code. And releasing Open Weights means they aren't just giving you the underlying software architecture.
Right. They are giving you the fully trained brain.
Yes. If your company makes under $1 million in annual revenue, you get to download this massive, pre-trained, highly capable model and run it locally for free. That forces the entire industry, including the massive legacy tech giants, to adapt to this real-time standard or get left behind.
It completely democratizes instantaneous generation. But, you know, what happens when we take that expectation of instantaneous response and apply it outside of software?
That's a scary thought.
Well, because the digital speed of thought is one thing, but moving tons of metal in physical reality is a completely different challenge.
Which brings us directly to the physical world of space and national security. The concept of zero waiting time has officially breached the atmosphere. Rocket Lab just set a new world record for a launch that honestly challenges my basic understanding of physics and logistics.
You're referring to the Victus Haze mission for the United States Space Force.
Right. So Rocket Lab received the command from the military to launch a satellite, and 16 hours and 42 minutes later, their Electron rocket, which carries about 300 kilograms, was leaving the launch pad in New Zealand, headed to low Earth orbit.
Under 17 hours.
Under 17 hours. They shattered the previous 2023 record of 27 hours set by Firefly Aerospace. But let me stop and hypothesize here. When I think of orbital launches, I picture months of highly cautious planning.
Oh, sure.
People with clipboards physically checking thousands of pressure valves, waiting for the weather window, calculating trajectories. How exactly do you compress months of life and death safety checks into 16 hours without the rocket, you know, exploding on the pad?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the answer is a radical overhaul of the mechanisms we use to verify reality. You simply cannot use human speed processes to achieve real-time launch. The bottleneck was never the physics of the rocket. It was the manual verification by humans. Rocket Lab essentially removed the human waiting periods. For example, their fueling system is entirely automated. It's no longer engineers manually monitoring tank pressures. It's closer to an algorithmic Formula One pit stop.
And that ties perfectly back to the AI acceleration we just discussed with Kriya. The sources note that those massive, tedious safety checklists are now completed with AI assistance.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
So instead of a human manually reviewing data from thousands of sensors, an AI system is running millions of digital twin simulations in milliseconds. It's predicting failure points, modeling atmospheric conditions, and verifying the physical integrity of the vehicle simultaneously. Just like the diffusion transformer processes an image all at once.
Exactly. It synthesizes millions of data points instantly to provide a go or no-go recommendation. But we really have to ask why this massive investment in speed is necessary. Why does the Space Force demand a rocket in orbit in 16 hours?
What's the rush?
It's because space is no longer viewed as a slow scientific frontier. It is active, critical infrastructure. Imagine a scenario where a vital military communications satellite suddenly fails during a ground operation.
Oh, wow.
Or an adversarial nation moves a spy satellite into a threatening orbit.
In those crisis moments, waiting 6 months for a scheduled launch is a catastrophic strategic failure.
Precisely. The private space industry has crossed a critical threshold where they are providing rapid response capabilities for national defense. As Commander Frank Calvelli, head of Space Systems Command, bluntly stated in the newsletter, this is no longer just a rocket launch. Space can be managed like a dynamic battlefield.
A dynamic battlefield. I mean, that implies reaction, maneuvering, and immediate consequences. But if physical matter like a military rocket can be mobilized at that kind of speed, it forces us to consider how fast pure human panic can move in a zero-friction world.
Oh, absolutely.
And believe it or not, the space industry directly connects to today's massive crash in the financial markets.
We saw an incredible amount of wealth evaporate from the digital markets almost instantaneously today.
That's putting it mildly. Bitcoin dropped below the critical $60,000 threshold, hitting $59,240, representing a 6.3% drop in just 24 hours. The entire crypto ecosystem is bleeding.
It's a bloodbath.
The broader market's fear and greed index is sitting at 28, which is categorized as extreme fear. And the initial trigger for all this panic, SpaceX?
Yeah, the IPO.
Specifically, SpaceX entering the stock market last week with a staggering $250 billion valuation. Over the last 48 hours, that massive IPO triggered a $600 billion capital outflow from the broader tech sector. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, because I have to challenge the actual mechanism of this connection.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why on earth does a rocket company's stock debut make a digital currency crash? There is zero physical tether between a SpaceX rocket and a Bitcoin wallet.
You're right that there's no physical tether.
Yeah.
But there is a deeply ingrained mechanical and psychological tether within institutional finance. It really comes down to how Wall Street categorizes assets. Institutional investors think massive pension funds and banks group both high-growth tech stocks like SpaceX and cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin into a single bucket labeled high-risk, high-reward assets.
So they view them as fundamentally the same type of gamble, regardless of the underlying technology.
Exactly. Now imagine that institutional risk bucket as a massive cargo ship. When a colossal event happens, like a $250 billion market entry, that completely reshuffles the financial gravity of the tech sector, triggering a $600 billion ripple effect, the market senses a storm.
Right.
The algorithms that manage these funds, they don't stop to surgically evaluate the individual merits of Bitcoin versus a tech stock. To keep the ship afloat, they indiscriminately dump their heaviest, most volatile cargo overboard first to flee toward safe havens like government bonds.
And the speed of that dumping is what causes the crash. We're not talking about individual retail investors panic selling on their phones. Yep. We're talking about algorithms liquidating billions in seconds.
Milliseconds, even.
Yeah. In fact, the sources note that $1.2 billion flowed out of Bitcoin ETFs in just 3 days. For the listener, an ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It's essentially the bridge that allows traditional Wall Street money to buy into crypto without holding the digital coins themselves.
Right. It's the institutional pipeline.
When you see $1 billion drain from ETFs, that is massive algorithmic institutional panic.
And we cannot ignore the Elon Musk factor in that algorithmic calculus. Musk's companies, including Tesla and SpaceX, historically hold significant amounts of Bitcoin on their balance sheets.
That's true.
Any major financial restructuring or turbulence affecting his corporate empire makes the market incredibly nervous. The algorithmic fear is, will he liquidate his corporate Bitcoin holdings to cover other obligations? That projected fear just accelerates the sell-off.
However, Michael Van de Pop, a senior analyst quoted in the sources, argues that SpaceX was really just the match that lit the powder keg. The underlying mechanism of the fear is much broader.
Yeah, the macro environment.
He points out that the real anxiety is over Federal Reserve monetary policies and the looming threat of an economic recession. Bitcoin, because it trades 247 without market circuit breakers, acts as the ultimate real-time sensor for global financial anxiety. It feels the selling pressure first.
That's the canary in the coal mine.
So, objectively speaking, based on the newsletter, what are the actual market scenarios moving forward?
Well, analysts are currently mapping two potential mechanical paths based in partially on historical market structures. The first scenario is a continued drop down to the $54,000 to $56,000 range.
Okay.
Historically, this has acted as a structural support zone, a price floor where long-term institutional buyers step back in because they perceive the asset to be undervalued. The second scenario is that the market digests the panic and enters a consolidation phase, trading sideways between $58,000 and $62,000.
Kind of catching its breath.
In this scenario, the market essentially pauses, waiting for a new macroeconomic catalyst. The key takeaway for anyone observing this is that extreme fear phases historically present buying opportunities for those with strict risk management. But one must fully understand the volatility mechanics before engaging.
Right, because the algorithms will always move faster than human emotion. Now, what's fascinating is that while the mainstream crypto market is defined by this whiplash of billion-dollar algorithmic panic, there is a small corner of the blockchain world actively trying to engineer the exact opposite.
Yeah, taking a completely different approach.
They're building deliberately slow, methodical economic models. And that brings us to a play-to-earn game on the Solana blockchain called Soul Farmer.
It is quite the contrast in system design. Soul Farmer is a resource management game featuring 48 different miner types, 7 exploration zones, and guild mechanics.
Pretty standard stuff so far.
But the most interesting design choice is its minimum withdrawal threshold of 0.1 SOL, which currently equals about $14.
Okay, I have to stop and push back hard here because we have covered play-to-earn games before. Historically, their mechanics are notoriously fragile.
That's an understatement.
You are forced to buy an expensive NFT just to start playing, and then the only way you earn money is if a constant stream of new players joins the game and buys the assets you generate. If we are being completely honest, that is the exact mechanism of a pyramid scheme, just wearing a cute farming skin. How is Soul Farmer claiming to be any different?
That skepticism is entirely justified. And the history of play-to-earn is littered with collapsed economies because they could not sustain that vicious cycle of requiring new capital to pay early adopters.
Right.
But we need to impartially examine the specific economic mechanisms the Soul Farmer development team is deploying to try and break that closed loop. They have structured 3 distinct parallel revenue streams to fund the in-game economy, explicitly trying to remove the reliance on purely new player capital.
Okay, lay out the mechanics. Where is the actual external yield coming from?
The first 2 streams are relatively standard. You have fees generated from the in-game marketplace, where players trade items, and an initial liquidity pool of $500,000 provided by investors to back the game's currency.
Okay, standard.
But the third stream is the differentiator, a staking contract with the Solana Foundation.
Wait, let me make sure I understand this. Staking, in crypto terms, means locking up your digital tokens to help secure the underlying blockchain network. And in return, the network pays you a yield, kind of like interest on a bond.
Exactly.
So you're saying the actual Solana Foundation is giving the game developers this yield to pay the players. Why would a multi-billion dollar blockchain subsidize a farming game?
Because a blockchain only has value if people are actually using it.
Oh.
The Solana Foundation views a game like Soul Farmer as a highly effective customer acquisition tool. It onboards new users into the Solana ecosystem and creates thousands of daily transactions, which boosts the network's metrics.
Okay, that makes sense.
So they subsidize the game with actual network revenue. This fundamentally alters the game's economic model from a closed, zero-sum loop dependent solely on new players to an open system subsidized by the underlying blockchain security budget.
That is a fascinating mechanism. The game becomes a service provider for the blockchain itself. But even with that external yield, the Tech in Morning tech update explicitly states we need to maintain our investment warnings.
Absolutely.
This is still crypto. The price of the Solana token can plummet, the player base can evaporate, and the development team could simply fail to execute their vision. So, as always, you know, anyone looking at this needs to assume any capital put in could go to zero.
Exactly. It's a novel attempt at a sustainable, slow burn economic architecture.
Yeah.
But it operates within a highly volatile macro environment. It requires long-term patience, which is rare in this space.
Which brings us to the ultimate irony of today's deep dive. We live in a world of 2-second AI image generation, 16-hour military rocket launches, and millisecond algorithmic market crashes.
And yet,
when we look at the walled gardens of everyday consumer tech, we are still agonizingly waiting years for basic hardware updates. And that brings us to the Nintendo Switch 2 and the Apple AirPods Max 2.
The contrast is striking. The back-end infrastructure of our digital world operates in real time, yet consumer hardware still relies on a multi-year cycle of secretive development, leaks, and manufactured anticipation.
And the latest hardware leak for the Switch 2 is massive, coming not from Nintendo, but via the game developer IntiCreates. They officially announced their new game, Azure Striker Gunvolt Trilogy Enhanced, with a release date of October 22, 2026, explicitly stating it is for the Nintendo Switch 2.
Wow.
Now, Nintendo hasn't even officially acknowledged the console exists yet, so what does this all mean? The game specs actually provide the mechanical blueprints for the hardware we've been waiting for.
They do. The developers noted the game will run at 1080p resolution in handheld mode and 1440p when docked to a television, consistently hitting 120 frames per second.
Yes. Pushing 120 frames per second on a battery-powered handheld is an enormous technical leap.
It really is.
The current Switch struggles to hit 720p at 60 frames per second. So mechanically, how are they achieving that? It perfectly aligns with the rumors that Nintendo is using NVIDIA's Ampere or Ada Lovelace microarchitecture.
Right, the AI chips.
Exactly. Mm. These chips don't just brute force the graphics, they use AI-assisted upscaling, like DLSS. The hardware renders a lower resolution image to save battery, and then a dedicated AI chip instantly guesses the missing pixels to output a flawless, high-resolution 120-frame image. It's the exact same AI speed we talked about earlier, applied to video game rendering.
It's an elegant solution to the power constraints of mobile hardware. Furthermore, Inti Creates is offering a highly unusual upgrade path. If you own the current Switch version, you get the Switch 2 version and a brand new story campaign for a $10 upgrade fee.
Which is incredibly pro-consumer in an industry that usually charges $70 for a slight graphical remaster.
It is. But this raises an important question regarding Nintendo's strategic timeline. What does an October 22nd third-party game release date tell us about the hardware reveal?
It's got to be soon.
If we analyze Nintendo's historical playbook, they operate with clinical precision. They typically unveil new hardware 3 to 4 months before the major launch window software arrives. Applying that framework, this late October game release heavily points to Nintendo officially unveiling the Switch 2 hardware by late June or early July. We are right on the precipice of the announcement.
So the 7-year wait is almost over. And speaking of long, agonizing consumer waits, Apple users are finally seeing movement. The newsletter confirms Apple just released the first beta firmware for the AirPods Max 2, rolling it out alongside the iOS 27 Beta 2 release.
Which confirms the hardware is in final integration testing with the upcoming operating system. The first generation AirPods Max were really hampered by outdated silicon.
Definitely.
The rumors point to the second generation utilizing the H2 chip. This is vital because the H2 handles computational audio processing faster than human hearing can detect, which will vastly improve the real-time spatial audio rendering and active noise cancellation.
And apparently they are maintaining the $549 price tag, which is a relief. But again, despite the incredible speed of the computational audio inside the headphones, the physical release remains tied to Apple's rigid end-of-year hardware cycle. We just have to sit and wait for the fall keynotes.
The physical supply chain remains the final anchor, holding back the acceleration of the software it eventually runs.
It is a bizarre dichotomy to live in. Today, we've explored AI generating complex art in 2 seconds, an orbital rocket prepped and launched in under 17 hours, and institutional algorithms triggering instantaneous panic across global financial markets.
A lot of speed.
Yeah, and yet we sit here twiddling our thumbs, waiting months for a new gaming console and a pair of headphones. The friction of waiting has collapsed in the massive systems that govern our world, but the physical products we hold in our hands are still trickling out at the old speed limit.
It leaves us with a critical tension to consider as we navigate this new environment. We are actively engineering a world where our tools, whether they are AI image generators, financial algorithms, or military rockets, respond to our commands in fractions of a second.
Right.
But our human brains, our emotions, and our capacity for judgment still process information at a biological pace. As our technology achieves near instantaneous execution, the ultimate question is, will human decision-making evolve to thoughtfully manage that speed, or will the total lack of friction just allow us to execute our mistakes that much faster?
That is exactly the question you need to be asking yourself the next time you tap a button and expect an immediate consequence. Thank you for joining us on today's deep dive. We hope unpacking these mechanics helped you make sense of a world that is moving faster every single day. Keep questioning the systems around you, keep exploring, and stay curious. We'll catch you next time.